Hi, my name is Stephanie Given, and I am with Baltimore Internet Radio, and my show is called Urban Mom. Today I have guest with me, Bernie Feiden, also a parent in the city. I want to talk to you a little bit about how Bernie and I met. About 5 or 6 years ago, Bernie?
Around five.
5 years ago. I was parenting my children out on the sidewalk, as I often did, with chalk and, you know, painting and whatever we did on the sidewalk. I had my children outside, and some other moms and dads had gathered with their children, and we, yes, indeed, had a cocktail or two, and somehow Bernie Feiden ended up on my doorstep. So, Bernie, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then I'll continue our story.
Sure. Hi, I'm Bernie Feiden. I'm a resident here in Fells Point, a neighbor of Stephanie Given. I'm a parent of two children in the neighborhood. My children are approximately 16 years of age and 14 years of age. I am a motorcycle mechanic.
By trade, that's a very fancy job. You sound very professional. Could you lighten up a little bit?
Yeah, sure.
I'd like to see the real. So I'm going to tell you how Bernie and I met. So we meet this lovely afternoon, and we have all the kids out. I'm not sure that Bernie's children were present at the time because they're a little bit older than mine. But needless to say, at 3 a.m., after many tequila shots, I decided I love that guy, Bernie Feiden. He is my kind of guy. So from that, I think, stemmed families getting together and his daughter and my daughters. And so a beautiful friendship began. I think Bernie's a great guest to have because he's a dad in the city. He's a very involved dad. And he himself was born and raised in the city. And I think it's neat he's still here with his kids with no intention of leaving. Is that true, Bernie?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so Bernie has one house that he lives in, and the house immediately next door is his closet. So I think in order to unpack two houses, it'd be a long time.
Which we hope to move our kids next door soon.
There you go. That would be a little strange parenting. You would call them by phone. Kids, you're grounded.
No, we'll just take their keys away.
There you go, and they can't get in the house. That's even better. All right, so let's talk, Bernie, a little bit. I have the good fortune of having family in Rhode Island. My entire family is there. So when school lets out, I give it a couple weeks in the big city, and we go to Gunpowder, or we go to the Feiden Shore House, a.k.a. the Hawk Shore House. But then we get out of the city for most of the summer. And I'm on the beach with the kids, and I'm with my family. How do you spend the summer?
Well, me and my wife are kind of like passing ships in the day. She works a night job, and I work during the day. So we're kind of like comparing notes, like what we're going to do. But the shore house is a big part of our summer activity. Our kids usually go there. We have relatives that come in from out of town, so usually from like June until late August, there's someone usually staying down there, different families. And our children sometimes are invited to stay with other families.
Okay, so I want to explain the shore house. So the Feidens invite the Givens. Let's go to the shore house, you know, bring the kids. It's great. So my impression is the Eastern Shore. Well, how do you do that in a short weekend? Bernie says, no, it's a half an hour away. So I'm sure most of you parents have discovered now Gunpowder Falls, but about a half hour out of the city, out in Essex, a little place called Bowley's Corner is where Bernie's family has a shore house. And it is truly a shore house. There's a big lawn. There's no beach, but a big lawn and then plenty of water for the kids to swim in. But for me, coming from Rhode Island, I thought the shore house in Dundalk, you know, that was a big joke because Dundalk burn, I'm sorry, is just not my cup of tea, but it's really Essex, Bowley's Quarter.
Right, Bowley's right. Quarters.
So at any rate, the Feiden Shore House, or the Hawk Shore House, his wife's family's house, has bedrooms and beds, and it's all about swimming and drinking and eating and being with family.
Being with family is correct.
Yes. And so what you said is your kids end up at the shore house usually for most of the summer, back and forth.
Yeah, and it's like a big homecoming. All the cousins, we have relatives that live in Georgia. We have relatives that live in North Carolina. And they all come up for the summer, and it's kind of a big, big reunion with the kids. They're just elated to see one another and hang out with one another and to share their experiences of what they've been doing in school. A lot of the kids are playing sports, and they bring their lacrosse sticks, and they hang out on the lawn. And, of course, It's a lot of horseplay at night when they all want to stay up all night long and play PS3s and want to wrestle and aggravate the girls and keep the parents up. And the activity really never stops.
So right now, Bernie, your kids are what, 16 and 14?
14. Mm-hmm.
So they're a bit older. But did when they were young, how did you manage that? Did you not work in the summer? I think that would be a nice idea for you. But how, who took care of the kids?
Well, my wife works at night, so a lot of times she would have to do double duty. Okay. She would have to stay up with the kids and occupy them or take them to whatever activities they were going to do and run off very little sleep. But we also have relatives that are live immediately close to us who we call Aunt Eileen. Aunt Eileen was godsend. She would come in and help out and take the kids with her and let the kids hang out with her for the day. And if she had to run errands or go shopping, she would take the kids with them. Also, my mom, who still lives in the neighborhood, she would also chip in and spend a lot of time with the kids. They would go up and maybe help her do some cooking or watch some TV with her or just kind of hang out.
See, now that is something I'm very jealous of because or envious of. So a lot of us city moms are transplants, which means we don't have family around. So we rely on our good friends and community members to help us fill that gap or bridge that gap. So you're a lucky man to still have all your family around. And that's because they all still live in Baltimore as well.
It is quite a luxury.
It's a luxury. All right. So you were raised in the city and now you're raising your own kids in the city. And I'm sure times have changed, but I'm wondering, you know, is it going back a little bit to what you remember as a kid, you know, with kids outside playing or?
Well, when I was a kid in the neighborhood, there are still a lot of parishes left in the neighborhood, a lot of Catholic parishes. And there's probably several, maybe 8 or 9 parishes. When I was a kid growing up in the city, these schools were all full.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right here because I think Bernie's leaning toward one of my other questions was, Bernie, you went to a Catholic school?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and so you're a Catholic boy, so the parishes were your anchors in the community, yes?
Absolutely.
Okay, so continue, sorry.
So all the schools were filled to capacity. I mean, and when we would get out of school, there was activities to do which I don't see today. There was CYO soccer leagues, there was CYO basketball leagues, there was CYO baseball leagues. So, and there was a lot of playgrounds in these schools. So it was nothing to get out of school, go home and grab your glove, grab your roller skates, grab your ice hockey stick, and go to the playground and just jump into a game. And if you didn't really like the game that was going on at that particular playground, you just went to another one. There was games going on in the corners, on alleys, behind houses, people's backyards. There was always something to do. And basically, after school, we wouldn't really go back home until it was dinner time.
And you were safe, obviously, if your mother would allow you to be out. Did you see girls out too, or was it just kind of a boy playing?
No, a lot of the girls would actually play in the games, or they would organize their own games.
Okay, so I will share this with you that Lucia, my daughter, is really big into soccer, and she's really big into her freedom right now. And so we finish after school at about 6:15, and Lucia has been playing on the playground, playing soccer with the boys, till, you know, later than I probably would like. But she and one of the girls seem to be the only girls really hanging out. And obviously Wolf Street is right up the street, so that's the only park I'm comfy with. But I guess you're right. There aren't a lot of other parks. And, you know, there's, aside from Patterson Park, of course, which offers a wide variety of activities. Please see Friends of Patterson Park for more information. But I think that there's not as much option. So I'll agree with you on that. But you went outside, you played after school, you didn't come home till dinner time, and that was all good. Were you as easy with your own children when they were little?
No, absolutely not. My son, I would give a little freedom to, and even to this day, I give a little freedom, more freedom to. But my daughter, I guess it's being a dad, you're very overprotective. I try not to let her out of my sight. Some of the things that I would do with her when she was younger was we would go bicycling over the park, you know, and we would just tried to ride around the park and really try to wear her down so she would sleep at night, try to burn off some energy, you know. And that was one of the things that we really enjoyed doing together. My son would often come along with us, but as he got older, it was kind of boring for him to be with his father and his sister, which they are very tough to keep in the same room anyway.
Right. And let alone as most siblings are.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a love-hate relationship.
All right, but so now that brings me to another thing. Chris had a little more freedom, so Chris is your son, who's now 16. And obviously, as kids get older, it gets harder to keep them busy in the city. You know, whether they drive or whether they don't drive. Chris is clearly too old to go play in the playground, maybe to the park for tennis or something, but I can't see him playing soccer with Lucia in the playground. So what do they do now when they get out of school?
Well, we try to encourage him to do his homework, but that's an ongoing battle. He is involved in Boy Scouts, which is one evening a week. So on a Wednesday night, he
goes. Is that through school, through church? How did you?
That is through another parish, which is basically in Highland Town, a few miles away, Our Lady of Pompeii. He's been in that program since he has been in first grade, and hoped to be an Eagle Scout soon. He's coming down the stretch. He also has his driving permit now, so he is experiencing driving a little bit, which is a good thing because it's a way to try to keep him in check with his schoolwork. In other words, if
it's a threat.
It's a tool to take away.
Right.
And if the grades aren't where we like, we threaten to take the keys away, which at his age is probably the biggest thing that he really enjoys.
So driving. Kick him where it hurts. So tell me, you went to what school when you were a kid?
St. Patrick's, which St. is Patrick's. Right on the corner of Broadway and Bank Street.
So that church is still here, but that school is no longer.
The church is here and the school is no longer. And very sad to say because I am one of six, and all my brothers and sisters attended that school along with a generation prior to us. My mother had gone to that school and all of her brothers had gone to that school.
Oh, really? It was that long of a family generation?
That long of a family generation with that school.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, that school's gone. And I, as a Catholic, can really feel the heartbreak of not a lot of Catholic school choices. So your children have been educated in the Catholic school. And I have chosen a public school for my children. Tell me a little bit why you went Catholic versus, especially because I know you don't go to church every Sunday. It's true. I know because I go to church every Sunday.
But you go to a different church.
I know, but I have spies at your church. I know people burning.
And that crystal ball you have also.
It's true.
I guess a creature of habit for one thing. We've grown up in the Catholic school system, and I think it gets indoctrinated into you. And you're happy with how you grew up, and you want your children to have the same experiences. I feel as though the classes are a little smaller, which could be a little bit of a benefit to the kids.
Unless they go to Wolf Street Academy. Our classes are very tiny. We're a small little school.
That's true.
I'm always trying to plug my public school.
That's true.
And it is a lovely public school.
Absolutely.
But your Christopher went to St. Casimir from the beginning, correct?
Yeah, from grades 1 through 8.
And it was previously Father Colby. Yes. And now how are you funding your private school education? That's got to put a big strain, especially because Christopher's in high school now.
Basically, we cut corners. We try to get a little funding. We get a little help from the Archdiocese. Mm-hmm. But basically, we have given up a lot of things. No new cars, smaller vacations, maybe not as many outings. And we use that money to try to send them to school because we really believe in it's a good education and it's a good environment to be in.
No, and I applaud that. I mean, I like to think I put my kids first in most cases. I personally believe in a public education. I don't know where I would think about sending my kid after fifth grade at Wolf Street, but that's another bridge, another day. We'll talk about that another day. Now, I know your kids have hobbies. Christopher, now, the Fidens are motorcycle car people. I don't know if everybody knows Bernie's famous brother is Jerry Fiden on the corner of Bank and Wolf. and they're all gearheads, monkey wrench people. I don't know. Is that politically correct?
That's correct.
I'm allowed to say that.
Bicycle. Bernie usually smells.
Yeah, and you smell like diesel sometimes. I still like you, but so Christopher, I know, has taken up that hobby. Maybe you should start like a motorcycle club for little kids in the city.
Like, maybe we should get some neighbors to buy motorcycles.
Oh, so Bernie's making a joke because during Fells Point Fun Fest, which we're going to talk about in a minute, Bernie, but during Fells Point Fun Fest, Bernie was trying to sell a couple of motorcycles. And my husband, Ed, is now the proud owner of a Harley Davidson, thanks to Bernie Fiden. And so now you'll be his mechanic as well as the salesperson. I think he got a 10% commission on that sale. I'm not sure. I got a nice jacket for him, though, at a good price. So
right.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Fun Fest. We brought that up. This year, Fun Fest, I've only been in the neighborhood for, I've been in Baltimore for almost 20, but I've lived in my house now going on 11 or 12 years. Fun Fest has been, before I had children, it was so much fun and just a wild time. And then I had children and it was fun. And we'd go, you know, do the puppet show and that kind of stuff on Thames Street, on Ann Street. But this year was really different. So this year, my daughter is 10. Bernie's daughter is 14. There was an 11-year-old, a 12-year-old. So we had a big bunch of girls who were ready to go down to the festival and have a good time for themselves and some independence from their parents. And they went down to the festival, and there were no rides. I feel really comfy giving my daughter a little freedom, and so we thought they were going to have a great day, and it kind of didn't turn out that way. I don't know if you talked about that with your kids, but was that a disappointment? Is Chris too old to care?
Stephanie, I hate to say, but I remember the first Fun Festival.
Bern, that's because you're old, honey. You're old. All right, so give me some nostalgic background.
Okay, the first Fun Festival was basically a crafts festival. You had people blowing glass. You had people making jewelry. You had people...
So it wasn't about the booze?
It wasn't about the booze.
Really? Or the rides?
That came later.
Okay.
That's when Fells Point was not let's say it wasn't so built up. It was more traditional. A lot of antiques being pulled out of people's basements, and over the years it evolved into more of an ethnic festival where they started having dancing.
Ethnic.
Yes,
because ethics are things that I have, you lack.
Right.
So
I'm with you. So then they started to have the stage in the center where they would have groups of dancers come. And for us, for all the kids that grew up in the neighborhood who had left the neighborhood, it was the one day that everyone came back for a reunion.
Okay, so it was as big a deal as, I mean, in our lives in the Given household. It's, oh, Fun Fest is coming up, Fun Fest is coming up. It was like that for you.
Yeah, and then it turned into the rides and the food. And for the people who were in the neighborhood that really enjoyed it for the reunion and the crafts kind of said, you know what, it's turning into a commercialized
right, because you think corn dogs ruin everything.
Yeah, corn dogs.
Yeah, corn dogs and rides.
Yeah, pizza's good, though.
Yeah.
Pizza's good.
And pierogies are something of your ethnicity.
Yeah.
So then it changed, and now I didn't go down at all this year. I mean, my kids went down looking for the rides weren't there, they came back. So I felt sad for that, because as much as you remember it, what it was for my kids, it's, you know, truly a day of fun in the neighborhood, and I think they were a bit disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it seems to be changing every year, so we'll see what next year brings.
Now, if I put this question to you and you answer it incorrectly, I'm going to be very upset. But what is our most fun day in December?
Oh, it's the day when Santa
comes in on the tugboat. That's what I wanted you to say.
It's the day when Santa comes in.
Thank you, Bernie. And it is true. So the first Saturday in December is Santa comes in on the tugboat. And I have been, since I've had my children, so that's been, Lucia's 10, so that many years, I have been going down to the square in Fells Point and visiting with Santa. Now, of course, because I am an urban mom, we tend to turn lots of things into drinking things. So we started dragging all the families with us, and we all have a lovely brunch with the children, and we have mimosas and whatnot. And I'm embarrassed a little bit to say that we start drinking a little bit early on that day. But that truly, to me, has always meant more than Fun Fest, because that was a day really all about family. It's the beginning of the holiday season. It's so much fun. But now we've gotten so bad that there's so many of us that instead of participating in the brunch at the waterfront, we go back to my house and we all make a big breakfast and we kick off the holiday season. So that's really my Fun Fest.
And Stephanie has her house decorated already.
And my house will be decorated the evening of Thanksgiving, if not the following morning. But you go to bed in my house, it's Thanksgiving, you wake up in the morning and it's Christmas. And they all make fun of me, but everybody wants to have the party at my house because I am decorated. So kids, so my children right now are back in school. It's about, what, a month into the school year?
Almost the end of the first quarter.
Okay, and at Wolf Street Academy, we got progress reports already, and my kids are doing very well in school. What do you do to, like you said, with Christopher, with the license, you know, you hold that driving privilege over his head, but, you know, do you feel like you have good study habits for them? Do you feel like they have the time? Do you feel like they have too much homework? Like, I'm curious because I'm in a public school. I want to know what your private school day looks like.
No, I don't feel as though they get too much homework, but I feel as though my kids could spend a little more time with their homework.
It's true. Now, and I want to say this about Bernie. I want everybody to know that when Christopher was in fifth grade, Bernie Fiden went on the computer and relearned his fifth grade math.
Oh, I still think I'm going to school all over again.
Tell me about that website, though, because that was very helpful, and my daughter is now in fifth grade.
Oh, I don't remember what website it is. Like, but the thing is, with the computer, and this is another discussion I have with my children, we talk about when we were going to school, where you had to actually go to the library, and you had to look it up in the encyclopedia, and you had to take notes and copy everything down, then go home and compose your paragraph or your essay or whatever it would be due for tomorrow. And when they came out with the copy machine, we thought life was good because you didn't have to haul all the books back again. And I tell my children how fortunate they are when they just go to the computer and it's all at their fingertips. So when they give me the argument that I don't understand something, I said, Christopher, come on, you're smart enough to work that handheld computer they call a phone now.
Ooh, that's
and everything is at your fingertips. Don't tell me that you can't go onto a website somewhere or just Google help with algebra and a tutorial doesn't come up that will explain it all to you.
Well, I commend you in your earlier years of his education, really struggling with the math. And I will be in that math within a matter of months. And I hope my medical degree doesn't fail me and I remember all that simple math. I find my children have just about the right amount of time of homework. But I think because my kids are littler or younger than yours, I can kind of monitor it better. For you, I'm sure it's not the same because you can't be as helicoptery, as they call it.
Well, and the fact that you're being a partial stay-home mom is a big benefit because, like I say, my wife and I are ships in the night. When she's leaving, I'm coming. And sometimes it's very difficult for the children to ask for help because one's coming and one's leaving.
Right.
But many a times we would go to bed early and get up in the morning and try to cram for test if, you know.
I believe that Christopher Fiden might have that same study ethic in him.
I believe.
I think. Now tell me, you mentioned your mom has been in the neighborhood. Was your mom a stay-at-home mom?
Yes, she was.
She was. Yeah. And she's still very much mommy to Bernie, I'm
sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, I do believe you're the baby.
Oh, no. No, J.R.,
JR is the baby, and you're kind of her favorite, though, aren't you?
Oh, I wouldn't.
Oh,
say
no,
that.
I didn't mean to say that out loud. No, so she's been in the city. She stayed at home. Your dad went to work. Family dinners. How did your day work when you were a kid?
And to this day, she's never had a driver's license. Could you imagine that?
Oh, and we were just talking about people not driving in the city. That you cannot. You don't need a license if you live in the city.
And I asked my mother numerous times, Mom, how come you never She told me she never had a desire to learn how to drive.
And she probably didn't have a need.
And that was the other big factor, didn't have a need.
Right. With corner stores and a husband that drives and works, and many children to run and do her errands.
Right. Sure. Everything was in walking distance.
Yeah. Now, do you feel like it's still like that? I feel like you could live without a car.
I think you could. You could get by without a car in this neighborhood, no problem.
Do you ever ride the bus?
Only to the games downtown, to the stadiums.
Let me ask you this question. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, but Christopher, I understand, is driven to school by his very handsome father, Bernie. Why wouldn't you put him on a public bus?
Because he's too lazy to get up early enough to make it on
time. But you have faith in the public schools? I mean, the bus, do you have faith in that? Because he's too lazy to get up.
I think.
Be honest.
I think sending him to a Catholic school, maybe some of the things he would learn on that bus would be.
It would counterbalance.
Yes, counterbalance. Yeah.
All right. Now I have a little bit more faith in the bus system, but honestly, I've never ridden the bus. But they do have now the Charm City Circulator, which is a little bit of a frou-frou bus. Well, that he could, you know, learn to ride a bus and actually.
Oh, Christopher does ride the bus for many of the events downtown. Baseball games, football games, concerts. I'm not opposed to him riding the bus.
How about Carly?
Carly, absolutely not.
No, there he goes back to that father daughter thing.
Absolutely not.
No, I get that. I mean, I have little girls too, but I think you might want to reach freedom a little bit, or. With Carly?
If she was with her brother, it would be okay. But I wouldn't put... Or if she was with a group of girls, but I wouldn't put her on the bus by herself.
No, I don't know that I would put my kid on the bus by themselves either.
But Christopher, when we went to one of the football games, him and I were on the corner waiting for the bus. And he said, Dad, what are we doing? I said, we're going to take the bus to the football game. He says, can't we just take a cab?
I said,
oh no, I want you to learn the full gamut of this game. Right. And he says, well, why are we standing on this corner adjacent to the 7-Eleven that a lot of people are on there?
Yeah.
And I said, well, Christopher, I said, we have a shot of catching two buses here. We can catch a 10 or we can catch a 13. So chances of us getting a bus faster is better because opposed to standing on Eastern Avenue where you can only catch the 10. Lo and behold, here comes the bus. We get on the bus, went to put the money into the meter, and the attendant said, take a seat. And I said, we haven't paid yet. She said, take a seat. The meter is broken now. I said, Chris, when the bus driver talks, you listen. And I said, the fact that we're getting a free ride, I said, this day's starting off pretty well.
I know how you like to save a couple bucks, Bernie. That's so awesome.
So I said, listen, when you ride the bus and it's your first experience, stay to the front of the bus. Don't go to the back of the bus because sometimes it's a little more rowdy in the back of the bus.
As it was when we were children riding the school bus. I don't know if you rode a school bus, but that's the rule of the bus. You're right.
Yeah, exactly.
Very savvy.
Back of the bus is the rowdier crowd. Yeah, absolutely. Crowds. And I said, plus, Christopher, if you're on the bus by yourself and you're not sure where you're going, although now buses talk to you while you're driving.
Oh, they do? See, I didn't even know that.
See?
I haven't been on a bus in a while.
So as you approach the streets, the bus talks to you.
And tells you
the next stop will be.
Very good.
Yeah. So
even an idiot can ride the bus.
Well, except me, because I couldn't figure out how to get off the bus.
Oh, you couldn't stop it. You knew where it was going?
Well, it used to be a string, you know. You'd reach up and grab the string.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah, well, the string is gone now.
So what do you do?
So I had to ask the guy, so how do you get off the bus now? And so there's a strip along the side of the bus. You just press it with your thumb.
Oh, I know.
And then they all yell at you, the back door, get out the back door.
So not much has changed about riding the bus. No, I think we're fortunate to be in a city with a good public transportation, at least with the buses. I remember when I first moved here without children and needed to get somewhere, there was the light rail and that I lived on Charles Street, and I was nowhere near it. It was, and I don't know where it would take you. I think Owings Mills or something to a mall. But I feel the people I know who bring their kids to school by public bus feel very good about how far it goes and how quickly they come and that kind of stuff. So any chance of you getting out of the city anytime soon?
No.
No. You're here for the long haul.
I'll probably be a lifer here.
Do you feel like your kids are enamored with Baltimore City so that they might be lifers, or how do you feel?
Well, if they chose to leave, that would be their decision. I wouldn't hold them back. But if they chose to stay, I think I would be happy. We're the part of the city we live in, we're close to Patterson Park. Mm-hmm. And I think through the years we've weathered the storm. The neighborhood has changed. It went from good to bad. Now it's back to good again.
I agree.
So I think that that we have weathered the storm. I think from here on out, it's going to continue to go up.
Yeah, I completely agree. Now, I do have to, you know, talk about a little bit. I think I broached this subject last time I was on, but there was, I had gone away for the summer, the previous summer, and I came back and there was, you know, junkies hanging on my corner. But so I went away this summer with the kids and we came back and everything, you know, flowers were blooming and I didn't see a rat. It was a lovely re-entry, as we like to call it, right, Bernie?
Right.
Lovely re-entry. But the
welcome,
other night.
Welcome back alive.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. So the other night, I go outside to meet Lucia, who's coming home from the park, and I see my trash on the sidewalk. So I don't know it's mine yet, and I look at the trash. I'm like, why would my neighbor put the trash out without a can? Well, then I realize it's my trash, that somebody has stolen my dirty, smelly trash can, taken my trash out, and wheeled my trash can down the street. So, okay, it's gone. You know, what can you do? You kind of have to laugh. Welcome to the city. So I am going to work the following morning, and it happens to be trash day, of course. And so I'm looking, and I find my trash can. It is up the street in front of somebody's house, nice, tucked away. So I decide I'm going to go back and take my trash can. So I go take my trash can, and I come walking into the school where I'm going to work, and my daughter happens to be outside at recess, and she says, Mom, you found the trash can? I said, yeah. She said, where'd you find it? I said, oh, I found it in front of somebody's house. She goes, oh, you just took it back though, right? And I thought, yes, I did. But then I went back and wrote a note and put a note on the door. And I said to Lucia, you know, Luch, whoever it was took the trash can. I don't know why, but it was mine. So I took it back and I left a note saying, thanks a lot for taking my trash back. She goes, yeah, I don't know if that would happen where we go in the summer. And I know it wouldn't, but those are some of the moments that make the city the city. You know, and I feel like your kids, you feel like you're going to be a lifer here, and I think your kids may very well be, but it's also the fact that they've grown up here, they'll be able to fly away, and if they decide to live someplace else, they'll be okay, because I think living in Baltimore creates a certain kind of kid. Would you agree with that?
You have to develop certain skills to live in the city.
City skills, right?
City skills. City you have skills. To be aware of your surroundings.
Right.
You have to be aware of what's going on in front of you, behind you, where you are. What time of the day it is, absolutely, it will toughen you up, as we say.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like your kids are pretty street savvy. I mean, I know Carly is, you know, a little peanut of a thing, but I think that the fact that she can walk from Aunt Eileen's to your house or, you know, I feel like that's probably a lot different than it was during that middle years when they were little and the city was a little scary.
Right.
Right.
And hence we've put cell phones on them also.
Cell phones. Now, that's a big issue. Lucia's coming up on her 11th birthday. And anybody and most of the kids at the school that I work at have better cell phones than I do. When did you give your kids that?
Right after 9/11.
Really? So yeah. They were young?
Yeah. I decided that If one of my children would have been in that building and they would have had a cell phone, I think it would have been a big asset to maybe them finding them. And I figured with the technology they have nowadays that I should take advantage of it. And I figured if they had been abducted and they had a cell phone tucked in their pants pocket, maybe
like a tracker.
Well, not so much a tracker, but maybe if they could get a chance to make a phone call and say, I've been abducted. I'm in a car trunk or I'm somewhere.
God forbid.
Yeah, God forbid. So I thought it was a good idea for him to have a cell phone.
So I'm planning on getting Lucia one, but my reason is far less, you know, mine is, Lucia, get home. It's 8:30.
Well, you'll find that once you get him a cell phone, then you have to get him to answer.
Yes, that is the difficulty, I'm sure. But I feel like Lucia is a little bit young. I think if we lived someplace else, I would say, what are you, crazy? You're 10 years old, you're not getting a cell phone. But I feel like being in a city, be it Baltimore City or Providence, Rhode Island, feel like in a city gives the kid a little freedom and it gives you a little security to be able to track their bottoms down.
And it's a passage.
It is a passage, but should the passage be at 10 years old?
I think Christopher got his, now that I think about it, sixth grade. He had his in sixth grade.
So that's 11, 12. Carly
said, yeah, so Carly said, when I get in sixth grade, can I have a cell phone like Christopher got?
Right. And of course.
Absolutely, you have to.
Now, I'm really, really glad you were here with me today. And I don't know if we were as giggly as we are in private. But I am planning to have a woman that I think you know as one of my more formal guests. Because I think you and I parent a lot alike. I think we're living in the city. We're flying by the seat of our pants.
Right.
I think we have a great network of moms with lots of different personalities and dads, obviously. With lots of different personalities and all different schools, you know, when you think about it. Portia's got her children in Patterson Park Public Charter. You have your kids at St. Casimir. I have mine up at Wolf Street Academy. So I think we all give each other a nice perspective. Oh, and Molly, who's got a child in Friends. So there's really an eclectic group of personalities and educations going on. But I think we're all doing a pretty good job raising our kids in the city, keeping them safe, giving them a little bit of freedom here and there. And I think you brought up a good point about in numbers, that if Carly were going to go on a bus with a bunch of girlfriends, just like we sent them all down to the waterfront in a herd, safety in numbers. But I think as far as parents go, we may be a little untraditional and we may like our wine and stuff, Bernie, but I think we're doing a good job raising our kids in the city.
And it gets us through.
And it gets us through. It is true. Okay, so I want to thank my guest, Bernie Fiden, motorcycle mechanic extraordinaire, father in the city. I want to thank you for being here with me today, Bernie. And I am Stephanie Given, Urban Mom.